Very appropriate in light of today's message, too. We're going to be looking at continuing our series of life with God, but we're going to focus over the next couple of weeks, Lord willing, on the Christmas message, because ultimately life with God begins with the Christmas message. It's Christmas itself. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to be talking today about life with God, and ultimately life with God. It involves something that I got to be really just frank with you. I find it kind of irritating. And I actually teach my children not to do this very same thing. As a matter of fact, every parent that has been out here teaches their child this one thing. Of all things, I know every single parent. I am without doubt that parents, every parent out here has taught their child not to do this thing that God does continually. And to be real frank with you, sometimes it's a little bit irritating. And this thing that God does is, He interrupts constantly, continually, in really kind of just mind-blowing sort of ways right here. Now, I want you to think about it, and that brings us to the beginning of the Christmas message when we're going to read. Let's begin reading Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And just think about Mary right now. Perhaps, you know, history tells us she's about 14 years old. Young teenage girl, she's betrothed to Joseph. She's got plans. They might not be exciting plans, but she's got plans for her life. She's thought about her wedding. She thought about the joy. She thought maybe how many children she's going to have. She thought, thought some of that stuff through. And we humans are so silly sometimes. By the way, at 3:33 a.m. this morning, my son Joshua turned 13. I am now the father of three teenagers. I knew that day would come just by very virtue of the fact that children tend to grow up, but I never really knew what that meant. Puberty, things like that. It brings challenges and interruptions that I never guessed would come to me. And I'm just thinking Mary had plans. And we start to read. She gets a visitation. We're going to read verse 26 through verse 45. Read with me. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed her. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste and into the city of Judea. And entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Mary and Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out of a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded into my ear, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. This passage is so rich. We could spend weeks just on this passage alone. But the phrase I'd like to kind of turn your attention to for the rest of the day is verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I remember a time once I was with Maria. We'd closed the door and actually kind of locked the door. The children were very young, and we had one clear message to the kids: don't interrupt. Because we were planning a vacation. We wanted it to be a big surprise. We're going to take the kids to Disney World. And all of a sudden, we hear a bang, bang, bang on the door. It's like, Olivia, you know, Mom and Dad are busy. Go away. Don't interrupt. Bang, bang, bang. Olivia, go away. Don't interrupt. Bang, bang, bang. And so finally, I fling open the door. I'm a little bit red-faced, you know. Depravity kind of brings that out of me. And she says, Julia's throwing up. It's like, whoo, thank you for interrupting. You know, sometimes interruptions are really good in our life. Mary has got plenty of plans. And I want you to look, and we're going to look at some of the various forms of interruptions in life. We're going to look at some of the various forms of interruptions because, you know, in Mary's life, and, we talked about this before, but in the Primitive Baptist Church, we don't tend to preach about Mary that often. And it might be that whole, you know, we don't want to be seen as deifying Mary, but we got to admit that Mary is a pretty amazing woman in the Bible. This is a woman who really has no real family lineage. Sure, she's marrying Joseph, who is of the house of David, but Mary, no real family lineage. She's just a poor peasant, 14-year-old woman living in an itty-bitty town. But the difference is that God interrupts her. And sometimes we think that what we have planned for our life is so important, but the plans that we make are so totally insignificant from God's perspective. And, you know, here the Lord says, the Holy Spirit, in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you with the power of the Most High. And sometimes we take the mist out of mystery. And something's going on here that the Lord is working in her life in ways that we cannot see and the ways that she was not known about. But I wanted to just think for just a second about some of how phenomenal this little girl Mary is. It says that she picked up and she went to go see her cousin Elizabeth. And we know that Elizabeth lived about 70 miles away. And it said that she made haste to the hill country. Now, remember, the hill country, the thieves and the vagabonds and the bad people lived in the hill country. And that didn't dissuade Mary. And there's nowhere in the Bible that it says Mary took her daddy, Mary took brothers, or Mary took an armed escort. It is safe to assume that Mary made this trip as a little bitty 14-year-old girl, pregnant, and by herself. Think about amazing faith. That faith that actually took, when Mary says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now, for those of y'all that were here a few months back, we actually did an entire sermon on this word, behold. And if you remember, that word, behold, is kind of like, it's kind of the Hebrew way of saying, stop, check this out. And Mary's like, stop, check this out. Whatever you want, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I'm going to give it up. Whether it's to give up my dreams, whether it's to give up my plans, whether it's to give up, as Brother Rich just spoke about, those vanities of life. I'm going to give it up and then see what the Lord can do. Because there's a couple of things that we can know about this interaction with Mary. And the first thing is that God will enlist our help in manifesting His kingdom in this earth. Let me make that a little bit more positive. God always enlists your help in manifesting His kingdom. As a child of God, you're part of the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, it's really clear that every single one of us has a role in the body of Christ. Every one of you have talents, God-given gifts. And maybe one of the interruptions that God is calling on you today is to serve His church, to serve His people, to serve His family in a particular way. And you might be resisting it. I hope not. But God has a plan for every one of you, and it doesn't involve just coming to church and sitting on the pews. It's a plan that involves your Sundays, your Mondays, your Tuesdays, your Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays. It's a plan that involves every single one of us. And the second thing is, in order to get God's work to be done in and through us, we really need to be willing to be interrupted in our business as usual. Excuse me. I want to make a statement here, and I want to be really clear. God is sovereign. He can and does often do His will among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of earth. None can stay His hand or reply, "What doest thou?" That is Bible. But we are not absolute predestinarians. There is a very small segment of our faith that considers themselves to be absolute predestinarians, that everything's predestined, that we're just automatons walking through this earth. We are not absolute predestinarians. Predestination in the Bible is spoken of three times, and it always, always, always is in reference to the destiny of His family. But we don't believe in absolute predestination of all things. We never have. We do believe in a providence of God that will oversee us, that can correct us, that can lead us, and that can guide us. But brothers and sisters, just like Brother Rich said this morning, our life involves choices. And as a child of God, you can take a good path or you can take a bad path. That's why in the New Testament church, so many times in the New Testament letters, the Apostle Paul is exhorting us. He's urging us. He's correcting us, or he's chiding the church in order to take this particular path, because as a child of God, he recognizes that some people have taken bad paths and those lead to bad results. You reap what you sow. So make no mistake. When God works in us and through us, it involves you, your decisions, and your cooperation. Now, God can do whatever He wants to. There's no mistake in that. But this Bible is unmistakably clear that you have choices and that God is asking and working and wanting to work through you for the betterment of His kingdom and His children. And so He comes to Mary, and He's going to work in and He's going to work through Mary. And Mary says, "Behold, I'm your lady. Let's go." And first thing, and she's filled with amazing courage. She's filled with the Holy Ghost, and she starts doing some amazing things. She starts doing some amazing, showing some amazing courage. And these are always the kinds of people that God chooses. Now, Matthew's gospel sets this up for us by mentioning women in his genealogy. Just kind of thinking about Ruth, Mary herself. Women in the genealogy of Matthew, and that's actually, and we've talked about this before, it's actually kind of unheard of in Jewish culture to even mention women. They're not even considered second-class citizens. Women who had been interrupted in their business-as-usual lifestyle, who had children in out-of-the-box ways, whose relationship of men could easily have been the plot for the latest soap opera. And these are all Jesus' great-great-great-grandmothers. Now, you'd think, and if it had been me, and I was Matthew, I would have mentioned Sarah. I would have mentioned Hannah. I would have mentioned Rebecca. I would have mentioned Esther, good Jewish women of high repute. But instead, who does Matthew mention? Rahab the prostitute. Ruth, the Moabitess, a foreigner, and Jews hated Moabites. Tamar, the woman who was sexually abused. Uriah's wife, the adulterer, the woman that David took in adultery, who eventually bore Solomon, part and parcel of Jesus' lineage. It's like Matthew was saying, "Get ready, folks. Get ready, folks. This genealogy is leading up to yet another out-of-the-box experience, another out-of-the-box interruption is about to occur, a kind of God-initiated surprise you once again won't expect." Business as usual? Hardly. Here in the genealogy of Matthew, there's all kinds of interruptions occurring to bring God's plan of the Messiah to fruition. And the culmination is a choice of this 14-year-old little girl in some obscure town to be the mother of God. And then Gabriel appears, and it's like he says, essentially, "Congratulations." And it's like an early baby shower. And as you read on, I mean, you get the sense here in Luke that Mary's not initially too thrilled. I mean, what kind of a greeting is this? Mary's savvy. God wants something out of her. It means it's going to be a disruption. It means it's going to be kicking off the covers of the usual. And you got to realize the kind of leap of faith that Mary has taken from her perspective. And it's a very dangerous leap. But in verse 38, she says, "Behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be according to thy word." So she travels that 70 miles. Unbelievable courage. Following God's interruption while not ever completely seeing the full picture, but piecing it together as she goes along. And isn't that the way it is for all of us? Isn't that the way and why faith is so difficult? I want to know the outcome, Lord. I want to know the end from the beginning. And we can guarantee one thing, that the Lord is not going to reveal to us the end from the beginning other than this. It's going to be good if you do it with Him. And so God comes to Mary, and He comes to Mary through this angel, and He says to her, hey, behold, the Lord is with thee, and blessed art thou among women. So as we come up on this Christmas season, because Christmas is particularly stressful, and it's even more stressful in the Melvin household, because not only do we have Christmas, we just had a birthday this weekend for Joshua, and on Thursday we got Caleb turning 10. I'll no longer have any single-digit children. Look, dude, December is a very expensive month in the Melvin household because Maria's all things clear. We're not going to mix Christmas and birthdays. You know, she's dedicated that to the children. I mean, it was really nice when they were 1 year old and you could give them a ball of string and they're like, eh. Now it's, oh my goodness. Anyway, Christmas, very stressful time. And I know it's like that for all of you. But I got a question for you. Individually and as a church, where is God trying to interrupt you on this Christmas season? In the stress of our life and as we're trying to get things and go according to the plan, it is possible, and it is possible God's trying to interrupt us. And it's really, really easy during the Christmas season to make it kind of a business as usual kind of event. We go to church, we do a tree, we buy things for people we like, and for people that we don't necessarily care that much about, just because it's expected. We sing jingle bells at least once, we go to the parties where we wear something red. I'll have at least one glass of eggnog, a sugar and caloric density that I afford myself one time a year. And it's business as usual, but sometimes the interruptions of God are going to come to us in times like that. Sometimes the interruptions of God are going to come to us in ways that we do not want. In Luke chapter 10, we read about a Samaritan who made his way on down to Jericho and encountered a wounded Jew lying alongside the road. Others were hurrying by, too busy with their own affairs to be interrupted. But the Samaritan, who was hated by the Jews, was expected to pass by. But he had compassion. Luke chapter 10, verse 33. He bandaged his wound. He set him on his own animal and brought him into an inn and took care of him. Sometimes God's will come to us in strange ways, oftentimes in the form of an interruption. Just when we think our duties are done for the day and we settle in for the quiet evening at home, somebody calls on the telephone, shows up on our doorstep asking for our time. Are you too busy? They ask. And the best thing to do is stop looking at these intrusions as interruptions. Instead, we should look at them as opportunities that God is sending us to serve those in need, and to listen, and to show love, and to help them on their journey. This concept of perspective and how you view things and how it makes you relate to things is so powerful. They had a study done. I think I've mentioned this before. But there was a particular delivery company that wanted to lower the incidences of driver-related rage. And so what they trained their drivers to do is every time somebody cuts you off or does something that really just flares your temper, think to yourself, that's my mother. And the incident, just changing that perspective of the incidents, reduced their driver rage incidences over 70%. How you view your perspective on things can have such a dramatic difference. Let me put it another way, in the languages we've been talking about today. The choices that we make on how we view things in our lives, the choices that we make on interruptions as opposed to interruptions of our plans, if we view them as actual opportunities of God. And look, I'm not pontificating, because I'm the first person that needs to change my perspective. This weekend, we were host to seven different teenagers and children. My perspective was challenged many, many times. Over the course of raising my children, my perspective has been challenged many, many times. And instead of seeing opportunity, you know, instead of, just give you a way of example. Incident occurs where total depravity of the Arnold family is completely coming out in my children. And I have this opportunity to see this as just a complete interruption and an annoyance, or as an opportunity to train and to instill a little more godly character. Not only with my children, but quite frankly, with myself. This weekend when I turned in my resignation, I have preached to this church for 15 years, fear not, fear not, fear not, God's in control, God's in control, God's in control. And yet I found myself at moments this week of tension and an anxiety that was very uncomfortable. And I was sitting there thinking, why is my body going through this? I know better, I know better, I know better. And I'd sing hymns, I'd meditate, I'd say a psalm, and my body would still be chunked down. But the progress that I've made is 15 years ago, I would have kept on feeding that cycle of tension and anxiety. So I'm making steps along the way. I'm trying to be better and better. I'm trying to be the person that Jesus wants me to be. Sometimes interruptions come to us in ways that we don't expect. Like the Samaritan on the road. Or like a new job opportunity. Sometimes interruptions come in ways that we don't really want. You know, little children used to come to our Lord and the disciples would turn them away. Those were interruptions to the disciples. But the disciples said, forbid not, to, you know, suffer the children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Don't turn the kids away. I don't care if they're interrupting your plans. I got bigger plans. Interruptions come in ways we don't want. Interruptions come in ways we don't expect. And sometimes, interruptions just come and come and come and come. I was reading this out of Christian Work at Home Mom, and it was an article I loved. I want to read it with you. It's a little bit lengthy, but if you hang with me, I think there's not a single person in this congregation that hasn't experienced this very same thing. The article reads, as I put away the new recipe for lamb and sweet potato shepherd's pie, I thought to myself, I ought to cook one new recipe a week. Oh yeah, like I have time for gourmet cooking. But if life were like I imagined it should be, I would have plenty of time because I would get up every morning at 4:30. I would start my day with devotional time before working out on the Nordic track. After a grueling half hour, I would take a shower before fixing breakfast for my family. Bacon, eggs, some biscuits is a favorite of my clan. And after breakfast, we would do the chores and be ready for homeschool by 9 o'clock. And during school, my son would do the research for his history project while I worked with my daughter on her alphabet. And then my daughter would play with modeling dough while I worked with my son on his story writing. And my son would entertain my toddler while I prepared lunch. Before nap, I would start the bread, make the salad, and ready the ingredients for the new dish of the week. And while the kid napped, I rested, and I would read and work on scrapbooking or something. And after the nap, my children would help set the elegant table befitting the gourmet meal that I created. The children would look forward to our family devotionals every night after supper. And once the children were in bed, my husband and I would have quality time together before retiring at 9:30. But usually, somewhere between brushing my teeth and writing the list and executing the plan, life happens. My kids behave like kids instead of like the miniature adults that I expect them to be. Noses need to be wiped. Toys need to be repaired. An argument needs to be refereed. A question needs to be answered. A book needs to be read. A neighbor needs to feel assistance. The family needs encouragement. The husband gets sick or has a deadline at work. This is where I head for the chocolate, gaining back the 3 pounds I worked so hard to lose. And when I focus on the should-have-beens instead of what is, I get so frustrated. My self-control drops a notch, and I so often find myself yelling at my kids and snapping at my husband. How can I get it all done, Lord? Why can't things go the way that I want them to be? It all seems so important, yet I keep getting all these interruptions, and I can't work my plan. Help! Then the Lord will gently remind me, my ways are higher than your ways. What you see as an interruption to carefully designed plan may actually be a divine appointment between you and me, you and your kids, you and your husband, you and a friend, you and a stranger. You don't need a divine appointment with dishes or laundry. They're still going to be there tomorrow. But opportunities for relationships are not usually as persistent as the list. Commit your ways to me and I'll direct your path. And I'll tell you this in the way. Walk in it. Trust me and see what I'll do for you. A Christian author by the name of Henry Nguyen writes, "You know, I used to think of interruptions got in the way of my work until I realized that interruptions were my work." Brothers and sisters, the Lord will come to us in many forms of interruptions, some of which we don't expect, some of which we don't want. Some of those interruptions are just going to keep coming and coming and coming and coming. But the message as we come up on Christmas season, which is what, 9 days away now? The message that we have this Christmas season and that was given us with a gift wrap and a bow tie is this. Hail Mary, the Lord is with thee. And in these interruptions and in these divine appointments that might get you off plan, when you don't get to perform your list, the Lord is with you. And whatever problems or anxiety or stress that you're feeling right now, the Lord is with you. Whether you're in Egypt or whether you're in Babylon, whether you're in the lion's den, the Lord is with you. Whether you have a parent with Alzheimer's, whether you're suffering from disease, whether you're in financial stress right now, the Lord is with you. So this week, if you do me a favor and just look for opportunities to see the daily interruptions of your life as a divine appointment that God is saying, let's meet together right here, right now, because my Christmas gift to you is I'm with you.